DW Africa Link.
A silent epidemic is sweeping across Zimbabwe. Drug and substance abuse is on the rise, tearing through communities and destroying lives. From urban centers to rural villages, young people are falling victim to highly addictive substances, fueling crime, mental health crisis, and social decay. Authorities are cracking down, but the problem runs deeper just than law enforcement. What's driving this surge? And can Zimbabwe turn the tide? Let's dive into the fight against this growing crisis. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Most of you by now might know I am originally from Zimbabwe, and having to talk about my own country facing a surge in drug abuse, especially among youth with cases rising annually, is extremely difficult and sad at the same time. However, an estimated one in every 30 households is affected, impacting over 500,000 people. Economic struggles and high unemployment have pushed many into substance use, even among the working class. Authorities are cracking down, with police making arrests and the military warning officers against drug abuse. But how far can Zimbabwe go to end this crisis? Wilson Box, CEO of the Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drug Network, is joining me for this discussion, as well as DW's Harare correspondent Privilege Mushaniri. I'll have to start with you, Privilege, as our ears and eyes on the ground, just to give us a clear overview of what exactly is happening in Zimbabwe in terms of drug abuse.
Thank you, Josie. Zimbabwe is gripped with a big problem when it comes to drug and substance abuse. You notice that most of it is affecting the youths, and much of it is being attributed to youths who are idle and who don't have much to do because of the economic situation. We have had recently police cracking down, busting and arresting several drug dealers, some of it where you find some drugs that are being imported from neighboring countries. Of note, there was a recent arrest where you had someone who was, attempting to smuggle drugs into the country, apparently in a vehicle meant to be carrying a dead body, but in that transportation, it was drugs instead.
Okay. So this is one of many cases that you can tell us about, because we've been seeing reports from the Zimbabwe Republic Police on this crackdown.
Yes, it's one of the cases, but there are many cases. They also raided a premises where they managed to recover about 4 tons of marijuana. And it's unexplainable whether this marijuana was meant for a market where it is going to be sold to... maybe nobody knows whether it was for medicinal purposes or what. But in Zimbabwe, what we know at the moment is that for you to be holding such an amount of marijuana and you are meant to be using it for medicinal purposes, you ought to have a license to be operating that. So that is yet to be established. And several other places where they've managed to recover stashes of marijuana in as high as a ton or 500 kgs from individuals. So these are some of the things that are surfacing as the police are carrying out their campaigns against drug abuse.
Right. Now, Wilson, just to come to you as someone who is with the Drug Network, you've been dealing with these issues for years. Just from your own understanding, exactly what is fueling this increased use of drugs and narcotics in Zimbabwe?
A lot of factors are contributing to the use and also trafficking of narcotics in Zimbabwe. Just like what Privilege is actually said, we do have the issue of unemployment. And, you know, this has been caused by our economy, which is not performing quite well. So most of young men and women in Zimbabwe are not employed. And then secondly, it's also sad to realize that for every four houses in Zimbabwe, at least one of the houses is actually dealing in drugs, which is very sad. And this has seen most of our young men and women being turned into zombies to some extent, because we have got more than 10 cases of murders, right, caused by substance and drug use, whereby we have our mothers, relatives being killed in cold blood. And this is in the public domain. And we have also seen an escalation in terms of drug trafficking, whereby large stashes, just like what Privilege has said, are being intercepted. So the issue of drug trafficking in Zimbabwe is now a multi-million-dollar industry. And the people who are actually affected most are the ones who are actually in the ghettos, where there is a high level of poverty. And we've also seen in some areas that some enclaves are now being, you know, cropping up, just like one which is called Jabuna, which is in Mbare, where there is a lot of drug selling, a lot of illicit activities. And one of the major causative factors, besides the economy, I think is also our policies in Zimbabwe that deal with issues to do with drugs. If you criminalize people who use drugs, then you are actually fueling drug trafficking. What we would then have wanted to see was a situation whereby the issue of drugs is declared a public health issue. Mm. At the moment, it's criminalized. So in a criminalized environment, people who use and inject drugs, they tend to go underground. And those who traffic the drugs, they follow underground and it becomes a vicious cycle. So our policy is also contributing to this. The issue of unemployment, that is the economy in general, is also contributing to this. And the issue of idleness, again, is also contributing to this. I think these are the major causes or contributing factors to the levels of drug use and also drug trafficking in Zimbabwe.
Also, but one would think that, okay, you when you say issue of unemployment and issue of idleness, then that's for the people who are taking the drugs. But then there's also the factor of those who are bringing in the drugs who are making billions and millions out of this. So it's also about greediness from some other people. But also some parents in Zimbabwe are actually complaining about these drugs now being sold in schools. And just to understand from you, how then can this be possible that now these drugs are being smuggled even into primary schools, Wilson?
Yeah, just like what I've said, that for every four houses in the country, there is issue of drug dealing. Issues to do with drug dealing are now an economic issue, an issue of livelihoods. Then this has led to some of these drugs getting into schools. For example, if you go at school gates, especially in most primary schools, there are women who also try to make a living out there. They sell their wares, and some of them, they're the ones who will be selling such type of, you know, last biscuits to some extent and some other funny sweets, which can actually intoxicate our young men and women or our pupils in those schools. So it's an issue of livelihoods that is actually leading, you know, to such type of activities in our schools. So it's actually a vicious cycle, and it's happening.
I mean, looking at just the issue of schools, at least, what should then the school heads, the school principals do in this instance, especially if you're saying these are people who are selling sweets and biscuits just by the entrances? Maybe we can start there by saying those should be removed, right?
Yes, it's one way of saying that or dealing with the issue. But you'll find out that even those who will be selling those sweets at school gates, at their homes, they might be selling things like brown clear, for example. And some of them, you know, they're single mothers.
Maybe just for our listeners, not all our listeners are from Zimbabwe. And you say brown clear, what is that, Wilson?
Okay, brown clear is a coffee syrup which has got a high content of codeine. So it is the codeine that intoxicates that most of the users they will be after. So you find out that most of the women, they might be single parents, widows, and some men also, they actually sell those things at their houses. In those houses, we have got children who also go to school. So at times you find out that a mother or a father might leave, that is the brown clear, right, with the child to say, if there are any customers, can you sell to them? And then these young men and women or our children, they are tempted to test, you see. So it's also another way or a leeway where the drugs can be taken into schools. Possibly the child has got friends. They might also be tempted to go with the bottle and then they can test in schools. So all these things are happening. So removing those who sell is one way, but it is the issue of policy. That is where the issue is. We've got an inter-ministerial committee on drugs in Zimbabwe, which has been tasked by the president of the country to ensure that they tackle the issue of drugs. But from an independent point of view, we feel that the committee needs a lot of capacitation, a lot of funding, so that they also go into those schools to ensure that there is a lot of awareness campaigns on the dangers of drug and substance use. And we also feel that there is need for treatment services to also ensure that those who are taking those drugs, they are taken into treatment centers. So you find out that those are some of the strategies that the government can actually use to capacitate the interministerial committee to ensure that at least it also goes into those schools. And lastly, removing the vendors from the school gates can also be another way to assist.
And also a crackdown on all the borders, the people who are bringing in these drugs. I think that is also a very important aspect that government has to look at. But like Privilege also mentioned earlier, Wilson, police has of late conducted a number of raids and arrests of these drug peddlers. What do you attribute to these successes?
One challenge that we do have is of our porous borders themselves. The borders are porous, and the drugs can always get in. And then also the issue of corruption. We have seen quite a lot of our public officials being corrupted to let some of those drugs get into the country. Just, for example, the issue of the hiss, whereby drugs were put in a coffin. How could such, you know, enter through a border where we have got border controls? Mm-hmm. You see? So it's a big challenge. And one thing we should also take note is that it is not the poor people who are bringing in these drugs in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. It is the well-to-do. Those with the means are the ones who are actually bringing in these contrabands in the country. So there is also need to look into that, to actually name and shame. Because some of them, they're actually known in the country. But as I have said, issues to do with corruption is also having an impact on what's really happening.
How are drug users being rehabilitated, Privilege, in the country?
Rehabilitation in Zimbabwe is very expensive, often beyond the means of most poor families. And you find that it is said that it costs between $500 to $2,000 per month to pay for rehabilitation, for those rehabilitation centers that are available. So can you imagine a poor family who is living on a very shoestring budget it is very difficult for them to send their child, to send their relative to a rehabilitation center. Of course, there are some rehabilitation centers that are being established, but you find that when it comes to rehabilitation, it's still a bit of a big concern because it's beyond the reach of many. When some people are affected by the drugs, for them to be sent now to these rehabilitation centers, you find most young people are suffering, but they can't get access to rehabilitation centers because of how they're expensive.
All right, right. Wilson, maybe we can talk about also the rehabilitation process in Zimbabwe. How many rehabilitation centers do we have in the country? Why is it expensive? And so far, I know a lot of parents who are really, really worried. We see these on social media platforms, how to rehabilitate their children. Some of them have to take them to South Africa as far as other neighboring countries.
Thank you so much for that question. But before I attempt to it, let me just comment, especially on the issue of the high numbers of arrests in Zimbabwe vis-a-vis drug trafficking and also end users. It is very sad to realize that the police in Zimbabwe is blanket. It actually arrests those who use and those who actually do the trafficking. So from the figures that has been mentioned, it's an indicator of a poor policy. If you find your country having such a high number of arrests, especially targeting end users and at the same time leaving behind those who are trafficking to stroll about the streets of Harare. So it's an indicator of a police failure. Like what I've said, if you criminalize people who use and inject drugs, then you actually encourage a lot of drug traffickers to really bring in the drugs because they've got a ready market. And that ready market are the end users who go underground to go and use. But if you declare it as a public health concern, then it means a lot of our people will be directed to hospitals or clinics. Now, coming back to the issue of how many rehab centers do we have in Zimbabwe? Zimbabwe does not have public rehabilitation centers. It has got mental health institutions. For your own information, a person who uses and injects drugs is not someone who has got a mental challenge because the issue of drug use is just temporary. So we do not have those facilities that really look at people who use and inject drugs. The only facility that we have that is a public facility was actually established in Mashonaland Central Province, that is in Chipadze, that is Bindura. It's known as Chipadze Rehabilitation Center. That is the only rehab that is dealing with people who use and inject drugs. The other facilities, the public setup, they are mental health institutions for people with mental health challenges. But in the private sector, we do have quite a number, but they are beyond the reach of the ordinary men and women in the streets. They are very expensive, and our people cannot afford that. So that is as far as the situation is concerned to deal with rehab centers for people who use anti-inject drugs.
And what is your own idea of a solution for someone who's with the drug network, Wilson?
The country should actually establish what are known as drop-in centers. These drop-in centers should be located where there is a great demand or need for such services. If you go to countries like Kenya, they've actually put in place a very good drop-in center system whereby those with challenges to do with heroin use, they're actually referred there. And upon further management, if someone does not recover, then they sent to a national center where the people who use and inject drugs are further managed. I'll give you a very good example. In Zimbabwe, we've got Engutani in Blawai, which is the biggest mental health hospital. But if you go at Engutani, there is a lot of space whereby a national center for treating people who use and inject drugs can actually be established. And then at the primary level, we can actually introduce drop-in centers whereby, for example, I give you an example, like say in Highfield, we established drop-in centers, and then those with problematic drug use, if they are actually identified, then they can be sent to the national center in Blawahe.
Right, right. But I'm just looking at this because I feel like Zimbabwe didn't have this, because this was never a problem in Zimbabwe. You know, I grew up in Zimbabwe. I lived in Zimbabwe. We are all Zimbabweans here. This was never a problem. So maybe the country was not just ready for such an epidemic. And now looking at this, you're saying that the private sector have rehabilitation centers. And who has investigated this in rehabilitation centers as well? Because I've been following this story a lot on social media platforms. One parent was saying that she took her child to one center. I won't mention the name. Unfortunately, drugs were even being sold there as well. So this looks like it's a very deep crisis, Wilson, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Just like what I've said, there is need for the country to look at the policy that is actually dealing with issues to do with drugs and substances. If you look at countries like Portugal, for example, they've had challenges with drugs. But as we speak, Portugal will no longer have any challenges with issues to do with drug use. If you also look at countries like the Netherlands, they actually had problems with drugs, but they had to look at their policy. So Zimbabwe also needs to look at its policy and really reform it to that it suits the Zimbabwean situation. Because we are losing quite a lot of young men and women, people with degrees, people with vocational education, qualifications. We need all those people to come back to society and actually assist in the development of our country. But as long as our policy criminalizes and does not look at the issue of saying someone can be treated and go back to society, then we've got a challenge. And then commenting on the issue that Zimbabwe used not to have such type of a challenge, is very true, I concur with you. But as we speak right now, I think the government itself, it has actually identified 63 sites where it intends to build some of these rehabilitation centers, or even to refurbish some wards in hospitals. I think that can be a very good way forward, because we'll be, sending our people for treatment services, monitoring, and also involving the affected families to ensure that our affected people can actually come back to society being very good gentlemen and ladies without challenges of drug use.
Right, right. Thank you so much, Privilege Moshaniri, DW's Harare correspondent, as well as Wilson Box, the Chief Executive Officer at Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and a Drug Network. Thank you, gentlemen. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out, or at times even overlap. Now, according to the National Library of Medicine, globally, there is a rapidly rising prevalence of substance use and substance use disorders. Also, in Africa, the use of illicit substances such as cannabis, the most widely used substance in Africa, with a prevalence of between 5% and 13% in West and Central Africa, is increasing rapidly. In the last decade, Africa has begun to be recognized as a consumer and a destination for illicit drugs, compared to being previously regarded as mainly a transit zone for these drugs, serving as a link between Latin America and Europe. We can only hope that together we can make a difference in the fight against drug abuse and pave the way for a brighter future. Our collective efforts can bring about positive change. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. Your voice matters. You can also find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, Made for Minds.